This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Are we excited to be in the house of the Lord? And I don't know whether today this is planned. I see a lot of kids sitting in front. It's marvelous. Amen. Yeah. So for those on Facebook, we want to also welcome you to today's service. It's always beautiful to be in the house of the Lord. And we want to take an opening song and take our announcements afterwards. But before we do that, can you rise up with us? And let us say an opening prayer. So, Father, we want to thank you. We want to bless your name for who you are. We want to thank you for all the things which you do for us. We have gathered in here in no other name, but in the name that is above all other names, the name Jesus. And it's our prayer that come and inhabit in our worship and in our service. And may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Shall we rise together, even as we go into a time of worship? It's amazing what Derkian shared about the joy of salvation, to the point that even kings rejoice in the salvation that they've received from the Lord. And it quite agree with the scripture I also got while I was preparing for this sermon. Sorry, did I say sermon? Worship. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, and I read from verse 11, and it says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember, again, that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." But in the verse 13, it switches and it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Isn't that amazing? And if you want to look at this and appreciate God the most, I would advise that you take a picture of your before and after when you came to Christ. Google has this thing of giving you, like, 5 years ago, the pictures you took, and it pops up. And 5 years ago, I came to the Netherlands, and I was so thrilled being in a country, I took a selfie. And Google showed me 5 years. So I looked at the picture, and I was wondering, is this really me? So what did I do? I used this app to do before and after. And before, my cheekbones were not very, very nice. I was very skinny. Then I look at my picture now, and the only thing I could say is, "Thank you, Lord, for you are good, and your mercies endures forever." No, so this is just an analogy, but just to tell you what we have in God and what we've received through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want us to enter into this worship with that heart of appreciation, that we could have been worse off, but for the grace, but for the salvation of Christ. Amen. Are you here with me? Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, you want to sing it loud. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. In the book of Matthew 21, that was what the people were singing when they saw Jesus Christ enter. Hosanna simply means "save us." And they were crying out and saying, "Save us, Lord." Because they knew where they were and they knew what they could become. Thank you. Hosanna in the
love is divine.
is the power yours, is the glory forever. We cry it out, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power yours, is the glory forever. All over this place we cry it out, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power yours, is the glory forever. Amen.
It's wonderful to see you all together and worship together. It's a privilege, I would say, that we can come together and worship. Before we move into the sermon, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful time that we can come together and worship you, Lord. You are our God. You are our Savior. We have gathered together over here, Lord, for you to worship your name, to exalt your name, to hear from you, Lord. We have come with an expectation, Lord, that you will speak with us during this service, during this sermon, Lord. Lord, I bind each and every spirit which is not from you, Lord. We leave everything, Lord, that was going in our life outside the door and come with an empty heart, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us, Lord. Speak with us. I pray for the people who are watching us online or maybe later on will be watching on YouTube, Lord. Lord, I pray that speak to them through this sermon, through your words. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's a privilege to be able to bring the word and share with you all. And of course, at the same time, it's a very big responsibility. It's like a, I don't know, but it's like a heaviness in my heart every time when I see my name in the preaching roster, and it's always there when till the time I give away the message, you know. And once I'm done, I feel like really like I can really like I feel like lightweight. Today, the sermon that we are going to see, it's about the extraordinary God. We as an ordinary human being have extraordinary God and wants us to live an extraordinary life. Looking at the title, you might be, I don't know, but I'm too excited and I hope that it will not let you sleep. Today, I want to go over this extraordinary life that God has for us. And it's not about achieving or reputation, because if we look in a worldview, what do you mean by an extraordinary life? It's something which is really stands out from the crowd, which makes you stand out from the crowd. And in a worldview, it will be maybe your reputation, maybe, yeah, your name, fame, or anything. But over here, the extraordinary that we want to see today, it's something which once you experience or once we experience with God, sets the bar infinitely high. It's nothing has to do with the extraordinary life of what the world has got. And today we will see the life of John the Baptist, how he led the life of an extraordinary, how God had a plan for him, which was really extraordinary. We'll see in his life the principle with which he was living an extraordinary life. And we see from the first, which is taken from John chapter 3, verse 30, he says the principle is, he must increase, but I must decrease. He's talking about Jesus, that let Jesus increase in our life and we must go down, we must decrease. So he's talking about the extraordinary life where it's not about us, it's not about I, it's not about I am who, it's not about my reputation, it's not about where I'm living, it's not about what I'm eating, what I'm wearing, what I'm doing. It's about Jesus. It's about he, it's about his purpose in our life, his plan in our life, his glory in our life. I just wanted to make this in a slide about what do we mean by extraordinary. It says God wants ordinary people to experience the extraordinary, which is him. God can take our ordinary life with its weaknesses, imperfections, mistakes, and transform it into something extraordinary. Indeed, with God, our lives will never be the same. And if someone, maybe in your family or somewhere, if people think that you might have done something really extraordinary, and if they doesn't know the experience when we come to God for the first time, like how Derek was mentioning, like if you compare with yourself when you, before you were, you came to Christ, and after you came to Christ, yeah, the bar will go on. It's infinite. That's something which is extraordinary. We'll see the phases of life that John the Baptist had in his life. And I try to summarize it in 4 points, which is the plan, the preparation, the purpose, and the prize. So the 4 P's, the plan, preparation, purpose, and prize. I think most of us know how the John the Baptist was born. Before he was born, we know that how Zechariah had an encounter with Gabriel, the angel. And we see the story there in Luke chapter 1, verse 10 to 23, we can find it. But here we'll see Luke chapter 1, verse 62 to 64. It says, so they made signs to his father what he could have him called when John was born. They were asking, they were making signs, like what they want to name him. And it's very wonderful when a woman is pregnant, we start planning everything about the baby. What would be the name? We pray about it, you know, we ask or we see, we look over internet, what is the most beautiful and what God has put in your heart. And here, God had told Zechariah, that to name his son as John. And the wonderful thing when we read about here, if you see the previous verses when Gabriel was visiting Zechariah and when he lost his voice, it says in the Bible that he was mute. So mute means you cannot speak. You're mute. But when I was preparing it, it's very strange that it says that, so they made signs to his father what he would have him called. So they were making sign like what you want him to call. I don't know, they could have speak because he could hear, right? I mean, it says only mute, but I don't know, yeah. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying his name is John. So they all marveled. They were marveled because Generally, when we name a baby, either we name her something which relates to the name of maybe the father or mother, or maybe we share the surname, the last name, the family name or something. But it was completely different. It doesn't have anything to do with the name of Zachariah or with Elizabeth. They were marveled like, oh, it's totally different, like his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. We see how God was working over there. And we, if we look at the Bible, if we see the Old Testament and the New Testament, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Yeah, Malachi. And there's the New Testament. And it's like a one-page difference. Some Bible has 2-3 pages for the notes, or it has one page. But if we see the time difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was 400 years. 400 years of silence. 400 years God didn't speak. And here it comes that God is preparing. God has a plan to work through John. And the first time, for the first time, Zechariah was prophesying on John, his son. We see it in Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to 79. It says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Isn't it wonderful? At least prophesying on your daughter and son. At least I haven't got the chance yet to prophesy on my daughter. But it's I was really thinking about it. It's a privilege to prophesy on your son and daughter or on your family member. So we see how much privilege John was to represent the Messiah to the world. It says, if we look at the words, it says that, "And you, child," in 76, it says, "you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Isn't it amazing what extraordinary plan God had for John, his life? Sometimes we think that we don't have any value, or we don't bring any value to anywhere. Maybe it's in your workplace or in God's kingdom. And there might be people who think they have lost everything and they don't have that passion for life, to live life. They don't bring any value to this world, you know. They are just kind of just garbage living in this world without any purpose. But let me tell you how much precious we are, the Bible says. Let's have a look in Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 to 16. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrote in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance. Being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when yet there were none of them. We see how precious we are to God. It reminds me of like being an apple of an eye. Today morning when I was hearing this, it was a Hindi worship song, and this guy, he was singing, and he was saying like, he was calling unto God, Father, and he was saying like, Father, I am your apple of your eyes, you know. How much precious we are, that God, when he created us, he didn't delegate it to the angels, like go and, you know, create this person on, you know. He formed us, he created us with his own hand. He didn't delegate it to others. And it's like when we do any work with our own hand, it's really valuable. It's really close to us. It's really close to our heart when we do something ourselves. So it says that God has a plan and purpose for our life. For each and every one, we are sitting over here or maybe watching us online, God has a plan and purpose, and our life is so much precious to him. It's beyond our expectation that what he has planned for us. So we saw the plan phase in John's life. As we will go through the phases, we will take some time and try to relate it with our life. The next phase that we see, it's the preparation, that God was preparing John. And preparation is really very important. It's, if we look, preparing before when coming here and sharing with you the gospel, I was preparing it from last 1 or 2 weeks. When we go for an interview, we prepare. When we go for a meeting, we prepare. When we go for anything, maybe in a dinner, you prepare. You just don't wear shorts and then go for a dinner, right? We wear dresses and then go for a dinner. You know, we try to look best. We try to dress our hair. And yeah, we prepare for each and every task in our life. And it's very important to prepare. In the same way, God prepares us. And let me tell you, the phase of preparing, it's not 2 months, it's not 2 years, it's not 20 years, it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime that God prepares our character. He prepares us, he molds us. And you know, the best time when we are molded, when our character is built, is the time when we are broken. Because without breaking something, you cannot build. You have to break that and build it from the base, right? So every time when we are in a, you know, like in a phase when God is preparing us for something, he breaks us. And it will happen till the time, till the lifetime, till the last day of our life. Because, you know, the Christian life is not about living on certain principles. It's about being like Jesus. And to be like Jesus, it will take lifetime. It's not like a crash course or 2 months or 2 years course. And today, we will see a word, which is brokenness. You might be very familiar with this word. We go through certain phases in our life where we are in a dry season, in a desert. And God brings us to those desert, to those dry season, so that he can empty us and he can prepare us for the new phase, for the new season, for the new wine. And we will see how John the Baptist was in the desert. We see in Luke chapter 1 verse 80, it says, "So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel." He was there in the desert. And you know what was his diet when he was in the desert? Locusts and wild honey. I don't know if you have tried it or not, wild honey. I have tried once wild honey. If you drink it a lot, then you will be like, you will be on the sky. So it was not his diet that bring him to this extraordinary life. It was the phase that he was going through. That's the preparation phase. And you know, when we are broken, when we are molded, when our character is built by God, we will see that in people's life who is really molded and his character is built by God. We'll see few point of evidence in John's life where we can see and we can maybe correlate it with our life, that he was going through that preparation phase throughout his life and he was going through that brokenness. The first thing that we will see is taken from Luke chapter 11 verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" Can you imagine? I think it was, I don't know, maybe 2-3 sermons back, I was preaching about the prayer life and how magnificent and marvelous the prayer life was of Jesus. Same here, we see how magnificent the prayer life of John was, that the disciple of Jesus is asking Jesus to teach them to pray as John also taught his disciples. And that's the first point of evidence for a person who is broken, is the first thing is praying. Prayer for that person is so important, it's not a last option. It's the first place to go to God and pray. Anything happens, go to God and pray. I will see the rest. Generally what happens, even it happens in my life, I will have to confess it. We keep the prayer as the last option. When nothing is working, we text and say like, "Brother, can you pray? I have been struggling with this thing." You know? At least I do. I don't know if you do. I do that. But the true character, what God builds, it prioritizes prayer as the first resort, the first thing to do. And we see in John's life that how fervent his prayer life was. The second thing we see, the second point of evidence, it's taken from John chapter 1 verse 19 to 21. It says, "Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Can you just see this? He confessed and did not deny but confessed. And if we look the meaning of confess, what does it say? It says to happily agree with the truth. And a person, a broken person, he will always agree to the truth. He will always agree to the fact. And we'll see the next. It says in the 21, it says, and they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if... Oh, yeah. It's okay. 21. Let's stop there. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. You see, they're asking him. They were expecting that someone, Messiah, will be coming who will be like Elijah or maybe a prophet, you know. So he was asked, they were asking him. He could have pretended, you know, he could have pretended to say like, yes, I am a prophet. I am the Messiah. He could have done that. Because he had lot of followers. He was baptizing lot of people at the same time. But he didn't pretend it. And that's a fact, that a person who is broken, who has the character made by God, he will not pretend. We see this. We sometimes pretend because in this worldview, we have this word called reputation, a persona we want to reflect to the people. And it's done sometime through the social media, through interpersonal relationship. For example, if we go in a small group, hey, brother, how are you? And this says like, yeah, I'm good, I'm doing well. But the truth is he's not doing well. That's pretending. The person who is really broken, he will show you what he has got. There is no pretense. He will not pretend to be something else. And that's what John is saying here. He says, yeah, I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Elijah. Then we see in John chapter 1, verse 25 to 27, he says, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. You see, there are two things. The first thing is the Levites and the priests were so much busy with looking for prophet, for Elijah, that they missed this part of the sentence where he says, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. They completely missed it. There is already one among you, he is saying. They missed it. And the second thing is we see here, it says, it is he who coming after me, preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to lose. I don't know, in Netherlands here, or maybe in the Western countries, it's like when you go to a shoe store, you try out your shoes, you do it yourself. I think last time when I visited here in a shoe store, I do it myself. But maybe in the Eastern countries, maybe if you go to India, you will see that people will come and take out your shoes and then give you the new pair of shoes and then they will help you put it, you know. I feel that's the most humblest job that a person can do. Taking out your shoes, at least for me, If I am continuously going to work for 3 days or 4 days and not changing my socks, man, I don't know what will happen to that person. It's one of the humblest jobs. And we see in Jesus' time that when a guest used to come to a house, the lowest slave, the lowest one, who was the lowest one, he would go and take out the sandals, the shoes, and clean it. And John is saying here, I am below that lowest slave when it comes to Jesus. Such an humility, such an humbleness. This is one of the characteristic or the point which a true broken person has. Then the next characteristic we see, John chapter 3, verse 26 to 30, we see that the disciples of John were in another level, you know. It says, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Isn't it amazing? They are taking it as a competition, like, man, the person who came to you yesterday, now he has started his own business there, you know. It's a competition. And we see what John replied. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride. And now John is trying to make a good illustration to his disciples. He was trying to make them understand his position in front of Jesus. He says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I think the first time when I attended a wedding in my life was my own wedding. So I didn't had any opportunity to attend any wedding in my life, throughout my life. It was my first wedding. And the second wedding, where I was the best man, was with Derek's wedding. And I could see the job, the duty of a best man is to stay with the groom, help, and yeah, when they take vows or anything, hold the mic, or if they need water or something, you know, give them, take them, hold them, you know. So it is the best man's job. In the same way, John is saying that I am doing my part, this is my job. He's trying to make understand to his disciples, because the disciples were jealous. They thought that it's a business going on. And John could have said that, like, no, this is the apostles' baptism, he could say, like, you know, oh, don't believe that person who is baptizing there. It's our baptism which is really pure and will cleanse you from the sin, you know. But he said, instead of that, he said that he must increase, but I must decrease. So he was saying that I don't have that, you know, I'm not worthy to be able to compare myself with that person. He was referring to Jesus. And we see in previous verses that he was saying, like, he was not worthy to even take out his shoes or sandals, you know. There is no envy. When a person who has that pure character, he will not have that envy in his life. Because when does envy comes into our life? When we think we have achieved something, we have got something. But let me tell you one thing. The extraordinary life is not about achieving something. It's about receiving. It's about receiving from God. It's about full of grace. It's about glorifying Him. It's about thanking Him. It's about reminding yourself that whatever you are or wherever you are, it's not yours. It's not something that you have achieved. It's not something that you have earned it, but it's something which we have received it. We have got it. God has given us. So let's summarize the points what the broken person will have, the characteristics. The first point is fervent prayer life. The second is no pretenses. He will not pretend to be something else. Deep and authentic humility. Security or no envy or jealousy. Acknowledges everything from God. Does all for the glory of God. Now the next thing that we will see is the purpose. We see it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And then John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me.'" He was saying like, "Come on, I mean, I need to get baptized by you. Why are you coming to me and getting baptized from me?" Jesus said, "But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." So you see, it was planned. It was already planned that if Jesus would not have come and got baptized by John, what point he was trying to say is, do, is like, Jesus was saying to the world, "See, I am sinless, I am holy, I do not have any sin in my life. I left my father's house and came here as a human being. And I am going to die for you. I am going to take away all the sins, and then I am going to raise up for you." That's the point that he was trying to make by baptizing by John. And then a marvelous thing happened. We see in the next verse, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We see God spoke after 400 years when John was baptizing Jesus. And publicly, Jesus was declared that he is the Son. Here is the Messiah. He's already here. That was the purpose John was living for. That was the purpose every day he was living for, to point people to Jesus, to lead people to Jesus. And we see in John chapter 1, verse 29 to 31, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water.'" John is trying to make here, he's saying that He didn't knew Jesus. Of course he didn't knew. But he was doing all the work, preparing way for Jesus, for the Messiah, and pointing people to him, you know. He says, therefore I came baptizing with water. He's saying, therefore for him I came up baptizing you with water. But he is the only one who can baptize you with the Spirit. He meant to say, I lived for this day, you know, to manifest so that he will be manifested to the Israel, to the people. That was the purpose for him, for that he was living. And that should be the purpose in our life, to manifest Jesus, to reflect his character, to point people to Jesus. Today morning I woke up, I had a dream. I thought I will not share with you, but yeah, it came to a point I feel like I'll share. Last Friday, there was a lot of issues in my work going on. And at the end of the day, it was fixed. And today morning, I had a dream where these two guys coming up to me and asking me, like, how did you know this issue was coming from, the root cause of the issue, you know? And the thing that came out of my mouth, I said, God told me. It was really convicting to me. I didn't do it on Friday. I didn't do it on Friday, but how much wonderful it is that if we do everything to glorify his name, to say to the people, it is God who has done it. It's not me. Let's look at the final phase, which is the prize. We see in Luke chapter 7, verse 19 to 23, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? It was this time when John was put in a jail, you know, by Herod the Tetrarch. And he was having a faith crisis. Because if we look closely, the expectation of people was totally different. They thought a Messiah will come and they will overrule the power of Roman Empire. They will be free. But they missed the point that it was not about, the Messiah was not going to come for the outward or the outlook appearance or resolving these problems. But he was coming for giving us the eternal life. They missed it. And we see in John's life here at this point, he was going through this faith crisis. He says, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight. So when Jesus was, at that time, healing people, curing people, when the person came to him, he didn't even bother to answer them. He was continuously healing people. He was continuously doing his ministry. He was continuously touching people and healing in front of them. He didn't answer them instantly. And then we see, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What he is trying to say is, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. He's trying to make a point that blessed is the person who is not scandalized because of me, who is not looking to another hope, who is not looking to looking for an alternative thing, you know, other than me. And then it says, when the messenger of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Can you imagine coming out from the mouth of Jesus? Such a commendable statement. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. But Jesus is saying, but the people who is coming after John, because John was not there at that time when Jesus was crucified, because we see after maybe a few days, or when John sent people, the 2 person to Jesus, he was killed after a few days. John was not there at that time when Jesus was crucified. But Jesus is saying, anyone who is coming to me after John and thinks that he is the least in the kingdom, he is greater than John. And today, John did not have that opportunity to be there when Jesus was crucified. But today we have the first-hand proof that Jesus was crucified for us. And we are greater than John. How much our life is precious. God has an extraordinary plan for us. We are called to be an extraordinary human being because we have extraordinary God. And we see, I came through this article 3-4 weeks back, and I just wanted to share with you how different a perspective can be and how a person who is not truly broken can lose hope, can lose faith in the when he or she has the crisis of faith. The picture that we have here, the person who is here, I hope that everyone knows, is Billy Graham. The second person, I don't know if you know or not, at least I didn't know. His name is Charles Templeton. He came to Christ in 1937. He started ministry in 1937. He was an evangelist at that time. In 1945 or 44, something like that, he met Billy Graham and they did ministry together in Europe. And lot of people, and yeah, you can see like how many audiences were there when Billy Graham used to come and evangelize and preach. They did it together in 1945. We see in the life of Charles Templeton, in 1948, 3 years after such a big movement, he started saying that his worldview about God has started changing. And in 1956 or 57, he declared it publicly that he has become agnostic. In 1999, so he died in 2001. In 1999, you know, Lee Strobel, who is the author of Case for Christ and Case for Faith, he went to interview him in 1999. It was 2 years before he died. And he asked him, "So Charles, what do you make of Jesus?" And the article had that he said something, and at last he ended it saying, "I miss him," and he wept. And the point that I'm trying to say here, we have not got that, we should not do that mistake what Charles did in his life. We should not be at a point in our life, at the end of our life, and say, "I miss him." We have got one life, one shot. Let's give it. Let's live for his purpose. And in contrast to that statement, "I miss him," we see what Billy Graham had said. He died in somewhere in 2018. We see what Billy Graham says. "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." Such a big difference in perspective. Isn't it amazing? So, if we summarize the phases, the four phases in John's, the Baptist's life, for an extraordinary life, we can summarize it like this. Plan. Trust in God's amazing plan for your life. Each and everyone has an amazing plan. God has an amazing plan for each and everyone's life. Preparation. Let brokenness build Christ-likeness in you. That's the living goal, to be like Christ. Purpose. Leave your life to appoint people to Jesus. With everything, whatever we do, we eat, we sleep, we do, whatever we do, we live to point people to Jesus. Our lives should reflect his character. Prize. Jesus himself is our greatest reward. With saying this, we come to an end. Let us take some moment and realize in our life, are we at that point where we are living fully for his purpose? Are we ready to take on that extraordinary mission, extraordinary plan that our God has? Are we ready to live an extraordinary life for him? Or are we living it for ourselves? Before we go into the worship, let's pray. If there is someone who is maybe sitting in mid of us, or maybe watching us online, and if you feel that you do not have a relationship with God, with this extraordinary God, and you are lost, and you do not have, your life do not have any value, I pray this prayer, and you can pray with me. Father, we come to you. We bow down at your feet, Lord. We are sinners. We have fallen short of glory of yours, Lord. We are full of sin. We cannot live without you, Lord. You have sent your Son for us to give us eternal life. Lord, we come to you with our open heart. Cleanse us. Clean us from this sin, Lord. You are our Savior. Lord, from today, you will be our Master. Lord, from today, you will lead us. And we will live the life, the extraordinary plan that you have for us. We will not let it waste. We will not let it waste, Lord. Break our heart, Lord, what breaks yours. Teach us, guide us, anoint us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And if we are here, anyone among us and feels like, yes, I agree, God has a purpose in our life. God has the extraordinary plan in our life. But maybe I'm not fully dedicated or I'm not fully walking according to that plan. Let's pray this prayer. Father, we come and commit our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, our existence in this world matters because you have created us. You have formed us in our mother's womb with your hand, Lord. Thank you for reminding us how much precious we are. Lord, we want to fully commit ourselves to your extraordinary plan for the purpose of our existence. Lord, we want to glorify, bring glory to your name in whatever we do, Lord. We want to live to point people to you, Lord. Let your character reflect in our life through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Would you stand with us as we take the closing song? Thanks, Banish, for the amazing sermon you've shared. If there is anyone who identifies a lot with what he said and would want prayer, Renee is sitting at the right side. I think Banish himself would also be positioned on the right side. Please feel free and go and speak to them and trust God together through prayer that you are going to identify your plan and your purpose. In this song, it's a prayer, and I want us to sing it prayerfully. We're just asking God to just breathe in us and mold us to where he wants us to be. This is the air breathe. This is the air breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my day. This is my day. And now I'm lost without you. This is the air breath. This is the air breath. This is the air breath. Your holy presence living. My day, this is my day. Your very word spoken to me, and I. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. And I, oh, and I'm desperate for desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Come live in me, oh my life, take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in. Oh, my life, take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wing. I'm waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love. Bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me, oh my life. take over. Come breathe in me, and I will ride on eagle's wings. Come live in me, oh my life, take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me, oh my life, take over. Come breathe. I will rise on eagle. So Father, we want to thank you, we want to bless your name. It is our heart's cry and our heart's prayer that may you come and breathe within us. May you come and live within us. We want to be in tuned with your plan, with your preparation. We want to be in tune with the purpose and also the price which awaits us. And Father, we want to just commit ourselves into your hands, because apart from you, we can do nothing. And so our prayer is this: may you always be increased in our lives, that we may decrease in every facet of our living. Have your way. And be glorified through us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.